And those of you, maybe you're football fanatics, you've been to a football game and you think, okay, we're doing really well, and then the quarterback gets hurt. You've seen those? And you think, oh, that's okay, maybe we've got a good backup. And then the backup gets hurt, and then they pull in the kicker, right? And you think, well, this is shot. Fritcher's in Alaska. Mike Stroop is out of town. Scott Hooper is in Colorado. And so, welcome. You get the kicker today. My name is Clayton Bully, and I'm the director of the Baptist Student Ministry at Charlton State. I'm married to a very patient woman named Bethany. Many of you know. We've been members of Cottonwood here for, I guess, about 3 years. I have three fantastic kids. Many of you guys have worked with them and loved them in the square and in the house. Noah, who has just turned 8, is our fantastic, detail-oriented perfectionist. He has to match. He wants to make his bed every morning. Just a really, really neat kid. Was baptized on Easter Sunday here. So thank you guys for pouring into my son's life. It's been fantastic to see him grow. Nate is our 6-year-old. He has more gaps in his mouth than he does teeth. Just that kind of that stage he was at. And he lives life gusto. He doesn't care if he matches. He doesn't care if he goes to the ER. It's worth it. Whatever it is, it's worth it. And then Sophia is our girl. And she's 3. And she owns me. I've never had a girl before, and for the past 3 years, it's just been fantastic. And I know that I've got to do this because we're live streaming, and I know that Noah's 6, so they're at home, so I just have to say, hi, guys. It's good to see y'all. But I'm at the BSM, and sometimes I get the question, well, what is the BSM? And so I feel like I need to tell you guys a little bit about BSM to kind of launch into where we're headed. BSM is one of the missions arms of the local church out on Charlton State's campus. BSM exists because local churches said we need a more focused evangelistic discipleship effort to 10,000 Charlton Texans and Texans. And so they came together many years ago and began to collaborate. And through that, BSM was born on Charlton State's campus. It is a fantastic opportunity. Just a couple quick stats about Charlton. Charlton's about 10,000 in enrollment. Best we can tell, only about 5 to 7% of our campus is involved in a church and a ministry and an ongoing relationship with Jesus. And so when we talk about missions and we talk about the things that are going on in Tahamata and the things that are going on in Honeyland and the unreached people groups around the world, there's an unreached people group in our county, and that's Charlton State University. And through you guys, your support, through your financial support, through your prayer support, through your resource support, your time support, you guys have been a part of what God's been doing on Charlton State University. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you all for investing in my family's life and also investing in the ministry at Charlton. And because of that, you actually have two college ministers. You have Chance, and then by way of everything else, you get me. So thank God y'all didn't vote for it. It just kind of happened. What is BSM? I want to tell you really quickly just through a couple quick stories. And I'm going to name names, so some of y'all are in the room, so just kind of duck your head and act embarrassed. What is BSM? BSM is Wesley Fuller, who is the summer intern right now. Wesley was sharing his faith in the student center. We did this thing called Coffee and Conversation. And we had this whiteboard up that says essentially like, how relevant is God in your life? And Wesley was manning that table. And as a leader and someone who disciples students, when you tell people to go share their faith, you really hope their first experience is a good one and not a bad one. And we were there at the student center, and Wesley just had a student come up that was just not really impressed with God or impressed with Wesley, and just kind of ran him over. And there was this moment in Wesley's life, we could see it, because I just kind of tossed him out there, and he soared. But there was this moment where you could tell that Wesley was really trying to figure out, is it worth it sharing with another person if this is what's going to happen? And Wesley, through God's grace, began to share with more people. The guy shot him down, and the next conversation, yeah, it was a really great conversation. And since that time, Wesley has been active in sharing his faith on campus. BSM is a girl named Rachel Raines. Having the lostness of her friends overwhelm her fear of rejection of sharing Jesus with them. She went on a spring break mission trip and came back, and realize it's just as easy to share with college students on the beach in South Padre. It's even easier to share with the people on her hall. And the week after Spring Break Mission, she led three of her people on her hall to Christ. And so it's an amazing story of what God's doing in Rachel's life. BSM's PJ Pruitt, who's the usher this morning, transferring into college and finding a safe place to be vulnerable and find accountability and find healing. And since then, being RL on campus and to reach people with the gospel. BSM is Kaylee Smith, who got saved at a fall outreach event and spent that Christmas in Laredo, this past Christmas in Laredo, passing on the gospel to people on the border. And then, I'm going to not name her name, but she's a student who found Christ last fall. Found Christ last fall, was baptized here on Easter. And her mother and her family persecutes her because of her faith. And she's finding hope in Christ when she's not finding hope in her family. And BSM getting to be a community that loves her in spite of some rejection going on. And so, guys, I want to say thank you all for being a part of our campus. Now, as parents in here, well, let's start with teenagers. Okay, teenagers, youth, college students, how many of your parents embarrass you? Parents, y'all seeing this? Okay. Okay. I realized, and I was the same way, I couldn't figure out why my dad was so weird, and I couldn't figure out why my mom always had to wipe something off of my face in front of other people, usually using mom's spit. I couldn't figure that out, and then I realized when I had kids, it was payback. Because parents, you just have to get over being embarrassed, because your kids do all sorts of wonky things when they're little, and you just have to kind of suffer through it. And let's face it, it's not anywhere in the parent manual on how to deal with kids that do crazy things. You just kind of figure this out. And one such story, we were in HEB about a year and a half ago. And we're going down, and I had the buddies with me. I had Nate and Noah. And we were cruising down, picking up something. I don't remember what it was, but it was on this particular aisle. And this lady walks around the corner. And this lady was a little overweight. I mean, she wasn't big, but she was just a little overweight. And Nate, who's our honest child, says, "Daddy, look, that lady's fat." And Nate's got two volumes, like, bust your eardrums or off. And so it was like, "She's fat." And I went, "Oh, what do I do?" And as a parent, what do you do? Do you just pretend like maybe she's deaf? She's fat and deaf. And she just didn't hear it? Or maybe it's like, well, maybe she'll, do I address the issue and say, "I'm really sorry, my kid is honest." What do you say? And so I chose what any other normal red-blooded American did. I tucked tail and I ran. And she's so fat. And I went, you know, and we went and we can get barbecue sauce later. And so we cruised over about 2 hours, but Nate is still talking about it. Like, that's vivid in his memory. And he's talking about, "Daddy, look how fat her arms were and her necks were fat. And did you see her ankles? And her clothes didn't even fit." And he just was going on. And it's the point where people on the other aisles are hearing this. Like, you're hearing giggling on the aisle overward because they're hearing our son. And I know some of you are like, "Well, I'm just coming off of diet. Like, this is really raw." It's okay. Mike will be back next week. But today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about fat people. I want to talk about how God uses fat people. Okay? And I want to give you guys permission, when you go back to Heiko or Comanche or Hamilton or Stephenville, to go ahead and don't get the blue plate special. Just get seconds. Okay? Just, God uses fat people. And what I mean by this is, before you put down your rocks, I mean God uses people who are faithful, available, and teachable. Yeah, not fat people, but fat people. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be a person who's used by God. I want to be a person who's available and faithful and teachable so God can use me. Because I don't know about you, but I want God to move in my family's life. I want God to move in my wife's life, in my kids' life. I want God to move at work. I want to see my lost friends and my neighbors come to Christ, and I want to be a part of that. I want to see God move in my family members that haven't accepted Christ yet. And so I want to be faithful and available and teachable. I want to be used. But to be perfectly honest, guys, sometimes I don't feel like I'm very usable. I try, but my lost friends are still lost. My lost family members are still lost family members. And so my hope and my prayer is that it's just God's timing, and it's not that I'm getting in the way of God. And I know maybe you feel the same way. You look at your family and you say, I need more of God in my family. I need more of God in my marriage. I need the kingdom of God to be present in my kids' lives. Some of you guys work in really rough places. I work at the BSM. Everybody who's employed at the BSM is a Christian. It's kind of a requirement, you know. But I know some of you guys work with a whole bunch of non-believers. And so the conversations are difficult. And you fight whether, do I stand up and say, no, don't talk about that? Or do I just not say anything? And so I know that maybe in your life you want more of the kingdom of God to be available in your workplace. And you want to be used by God. And so we struggle with that. And I want you to know that God's word says something about this. God knows that we go through these struggles, and so he gave us the Bible. And he gave us examples of people who are faithful, available, and teachable, and were used by God and made an impact where they're at. So that's where I want to look today. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and flip there. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now some of you, if you're new to Christianity, or maybe you're new to church, or new to the Bible, your Bible's divided up into two parts. You've got the first half, or the first, really, the two-thirds. It's got the long names that are hard to pronounce. Okay, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the record and revelation of God dealing with a people called Israel. Okay, their ups, their downs, their freak-out moments, their drama, and God is the one thing that's constant in that. And he says, guys, I'm going to bring a redeemer that's going to save you. It's not going to be about outward actions, it's going to be about stuff that's written on your heart. And this redeemer is going to come and he's going to save you. And that's where we get the New Testament. And the New Testament is the birth, the life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then after that, we have the birth of the early church. Okay, so you want to know what like church 1.0 looks like? Acts. Okay, that's where we're going to be. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's given some final instructions to his disciples, to the apostles, and he's gone up to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father until he comes back one day. And so we have the church trying to figure this thing out. Listening to the teachings of Jesus, reading the Old Testament, praying, say, God, what's next? And we land on this guy named Philip in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26, this is what it says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. So he asked, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, the eunuch said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave the orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up from the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Let's pray together. Father, we're very grateful for your word that's living and active, that cuts deep, separates truth from lie. It separates our motives from what really needs to happen. God, thank you for speaking to us through your word. Thank you for giving us the example of Philip. And God, I pray during this time that you would speak. Just as you spoke, as you wrote this, that you'd speak to us as we hear it. We pray this for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Guys, Philip was fat. He was a fatty. That's just who he was. And when God spoke to him, he was faithful, available, and he was teachable. And he moved and he acted on that. And so I want to look at this first, this idea of God uses fat people, but uses faithful people. Okay, verses 34 through 37. Verse 27 says that the angel of the Lord said, "Philip, go." Very, very simple instructions. Go. Philip didn't ask any other questions. He didn't say, "But wait, when am I going to come back? Wait, I've got a stew on. I need to be here for this later." He just went. And he didn't go to like paradise. Okay. I work with students we send students all over the world every summer and Christmas. And you want me to tell you the places that get filled really quick? Is the Baptist Student Ministry internship in Hawaii. For some reason, every student is called to Hawaii. Okay? The ones we have a hard time filling in sub-Saharan Africa, where there are no trees. But God calls Philip not to paradise, he calls him to the desert road. And Philip's faithful and he does it, he goes. Have you ever spent a lot of time with people who aren't faithful? Maybe you set up a meeting at 2 o'clock and they text you at 2:15 and say, "I'm not going to be there," or they just don't show up. Maybe some of you guys, maybe you have rental property, and for some reason the place always looks worse off after the students or people leave. Faithful people leave things better than when they left it. But this is what 2 Timothy 2:2 says. It says, "And what you've heard from me," so this is Paul talking to Timothy, "so what you've heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who can pass it on to others." You have four generations of discipleship there. Paul talking to Timothy, Timothy talking to faithful men. It's really interesting, Paul says faithful men. And I think the reason he says faithful men is because if you don't pass it on to faithful men, there's no next generation. Because let's think about it, guys. We are here today because of faithful men and women. The apostles saw what Jesus did. They passed it on to people who passed it on to people who were faithful, who passed it on. And someone told someone, and someone told someone, and eventually someone told us. We stand in a lineage of people who were faithful. Some were faithful than others, but people were faithful. Parable of the talents in Matthew 25. We don't have time to flip there, but essentially, if you're familiar with the story, master goes on a journey and he hands his servants different amounts of money. To one he hands 10, to one he hands 5, and to the last guy he hands 1. And when he comes back, he says, "Okay, what have you done with my money?" And the first servant comes back and says, "Well, you gave me 10, here's 20. Goes to the second one says, "Well, you gave me 5, here's 10. I got some interest on it, I invested it and got a return." And he gets to the last guy, and this is me, this is completely me, no entrepreneur bone in my body. He says, "Well, master, I buried it because I didn't want to lose it." And what does the master do? He says, "You wicked servant, throw him out in the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." And I'm not completely sure what that means, but it sounds awful, okay? Notice that the servants aren't judged on how much they're given. They're judged by what they do with what they're given. Some of you guys are saying, "Well, I don't have a whole lot in my life right now to be faithful with. You know, maybe I'm a student and I just got to go to class. That's my job. You know, and maybe you've got a huge business with tons of employees, or you've got a family that you're in charge of." Well, it's not a question of how much you have to be faithful with. The question is, are you faithful with what you have? So Philip was given instructions and he was faithful, and so he was given more. God uses faithful people. The second thing is God uses available people. You notice in this passage that Philip didn't go, "Wait, let me open up Outlook. Let me check my calendar, God. I think Tuesday's better." And really, I'm finding in my life the two opposites that I swing between is there are people in life that will plan their calendar, and if they've got any free time, then God's got it. You know, "God, I've scheduled out my day. If I've got any free time, I'll serve. If I've got any free time and you speak to me, then I'll do whatever you ask." And then there's people who let God weigh in on their decisions and their calendar and how they spend their time. Guys, your free time is important. I'm not negating your leisure time. Don't sell the boat. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying God has more priority than your leisure time. God has more priority than your service, your work, your family. Now, serving God is also going to work. Serving God is also spending time with your family. But don't use work or your family or your boat or your leisure or your job as a crutch and say, God, I can't be used by you because I'm so busy doing this other stuff. Matthew 4:19-20, this is the verse I got saved from. It says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Which is a really powerful verse, but the next verse says, and they dropped their nets and they followed him. Guys, there are going to be times throughout our days where God steps in and says, I need you to talk to this person. I need you to go to this place. I need you to send an encouraging text. I need you to take time out of whatever you had scheduled, and I need you to do my stuff. And the question is, are we available? Philip was available. Philip was on middle, doing something important, probably. And God said, I need you to go to the desert road. And he took out a day, a couple days, and he did it. You notice so many times in Jesus' ministry, people get healed. Demons are cast out because Jesus was on his way to something else. And the Father had different plans, and there was an interruption. He's headed to go heal somebody. The woman with bleeding comes and finds him. It's an interruption. Guys, let me tell you what the American would have done in that process. I'm really sorry. Tuesday looks better. Because we have a tendency to be so focused on what's next and what's on the calendar that we forget that sometimes God steps in and he interrupts our schedules. Are we a people who are available when God says, hey, I've got different plans for you? God uses faithful people. He uses available people. He also uses teachable people. You notice in this passage, this is great. This is like church league softball evangelism. Okay? If you ever played church league or slow pitch softball, it's really difficult if you actually played baseball or softball in high school. But they basically take this big fat ball and they do this with it. And you've just got to wait. I played some baseball. I wasn't very good. And as a college student, they let me on our church's softball team. They said, we need some young blood. We need some people in the outfield that can run, that don't have bad knees. And they picked me and three of my roommates, the interns at the church at the time. And I thought, yes, I'm going to kill it. I didn't make it a college athlete. I'm going to make it via slow pitch softball. And that first time, just a completely side story. This is not in the notes. This is free for your enjoyment. They toss it up. And the problem is when you're used to getting a ball about 70 miles per hour, and then it's like, you know, then you just, I struck out in slow pitch softball. And you would too, so don't laugh. But slow pitch softball evangelism, Philip walks up to the guy, and the guy's reading the gospel, or he's reading the prophecy about Jesus, written before Jesus was ever around, and the guy says, is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? And for those of you that are raised in the church context, you're like, of course, he's talking about Jesus. Get saved, brother, get baptized. But the only reason Philip knew that is because someone had taught him that. He was teachable. He realized that he didn't know everything and he had to sit at somebody's feet and learn. Guys, I'm going to speak to men for a second. I realize you may have a business, you may have a family, you may have a yard, and like that's your baby. Okay, that's what you do. I am a teacher. I am this person. One of the conversations I have with one of my family members who is a salesman, he's a business person, and we talk about the relativity of Jesus in business ethics. And he says, well, Jesus doesn't know how to run a business because he never did. And his mindset is, Jesus doesn't have anything to say about my life because Jesus has never done this before. And guys, when we compartmentalize our lives, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Guys, we need to be a people who are teachable. Philip was teachable, was able to pass on what he learned. The eunuch at this point is very teachable because he hears the gospel from a complete stranger and he trusts it. Guys, there are moments in your life. Guys, this is the first time I've ever been through life. Okay, I'm kind of a rookie at this. It's the first time I've ever been 32. It's the first time I've ever had an 8, 6, and 3-year-old. It's new. It's hard. Okay? I'm guessing it's the first time you've ever been your age too and gone through today. We are rookies at this. it would be absolutely foolish for us to not let the person who wrote the book on life weigh in on our daily decisions. We always laugh at freshmen at Tarleton because they think they know everything because they were seniors one time at whatever high school or place they were at, and they had a letter jacket with some patches on it that they wear the first time it gets cold, and they get laughed at and they never wear it again. Don't be freshmen. Don't be freshmen at life and pretend like you know everything just because you may have gone through something similar. Jesus knows. And Jesus can speak with authority into your life because he wrote your life. Trust him. God uses people who are faithful, available, and teachable. Do you want to see God move in your family, at work, at Cottonwood? That we have to be a people who are fat. What could God do in your family? What could God do in my family if we became a people who heard God's voice and obeyed immediately? That we said, whatever my schedule looks like, God, it's yours. You need me to talk to this person? You need me to take this time with my child and take this time with this coworker? Whatever you need, it's yours, God. And God, whatever you say, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let you teach me. I'm not going to assume anything. I'm going to let you teach me. Guys, what would it look like? What would Cottonwood look like? We would have to start turning people away from going to Honeyland and among the Tahumara. We would have to, Dublin would be saturated, the surrounding communities could be saturated with the gospel if we were a people who were faithful, available, and teachable. Cottonwood would be the heaviest place on earth because we'd be God's little anchors, a bunch of little fat people walking around. What could God do with a people who were faithful, available, and teachable? I have to ask this question. I'm sorry it's going to blow it. So my question in closing is, are you fat today? Are you faithful? Are you available? Are you teachable? And you may have walked in here not faithful, not available, and not teachable, but you can walk out of here faithful, available, and teachable. Are you faithful? What was the last thing God asked you to do? Have you done it? There was a season 2 years ago in the summer, and we were trying to plan some things for ministry, and there was some stuff that God was working in my life about some broken relationships that I needed to get right, and there's some conversations I need to have, and they were going to be awful hard conversations. And I just told God, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And God said, you need to write these things. And I said, I'm not. And God stopped speaking to me. Now, I've never had, it's not one of those things where, just because I'm a minister, the phone rings, I pick it up, and it's God on the other end. That's not that at all. But I would read his word, and I'd open it up, and the first thing I'd hear was, are you going to be faithful today? And I'd say, no. And he'd say, don't even read it. I'd try to pray. I'd try to pray for my kids at night. And I'd have to fake it, because God would say, are you going to be faithful? And I would say, no. And God stopped speaking to me because I wasn't faithful with the last thing he did. It didn't matter what I wanted to do in the future or how I wanted him to impact my family. The question was, have you done the last thing I told you to do, Clayton? I said, no, I haven't. Have you done the last thing God's asked you to do? No matter how big, no matter how small, have you been faithful? Have you been available? Do you allow God your excess time? Because don't be foolish, don't buy that. It's a load of mess. You don't have excess time, okay? You always fill your time with something. But do you let God have your excess time, or do you let God control your calendar, your day? Are people interruptions, or are they ministry opportunities? Are you available if God asks? And are you teachable? Do you apply God's word in your life? Do you let people speak into your life who know more? Do you let God weigh in on your decisions? My hope and my prayer for us, for my family, for my kids, for my wife, for me, is that I would be faithful. I would be found faithful, available, and teachable. that I'd be very, very spiritually heavy. And that I would see God move, and I'd see more of the kingdom of God in my life, in my ministry, in my family, in my work, and among my church. So that's my prayer, and that's my, hopefully that's your prayer. And maybe you're here today and you've walked in going, oh no, that's not me. That doesn't describe me. And maybe there's just something you need to get off your chest. I'd encourage you, as this thing ends, I'm going to be down front. Chance and Jeanette will be around. Maybe you just need to find your spouse or find somebody. Don't walk off campus today not dealing with that. Find somebody and say, hey, this is just kind of what I'm dealing with. I just need you to pray with me. This is a family. You can trust the family, and the family's going to pray for you, and the body's going to encourage you. And maybe you're here today and you just want to rejoice and say, I feel like I've done this and I've seen God do these amazing things. Don't hold that in, because we need encouragement as a body. Tell somebody before you leave, saying, this is what I'm seeing God's doing. It's not because I'm just awesome, but God's really faithful and he's available and he's teaching me. So let me pray for us, and then we'll move on to what's next. God, I pray for my family here. God, I pray that we would be a people who are faithful, available, and teachable. And God, thank you for the example of Scripture, Philip. God, thank you ultimately for Jesus, who was faithful, available, and you taught him, Father. And he trusted your word. God, may we be like Jesus and trust your word. And God, in our relationships, in the places that we work, I pray that we be people who hear your voice. God, I pray for my family here today. God, I pray that you, as they dive into your word, that you'd speak to them, that you'd overwhelm them with your spirit. God, as they pray, that you'd give their hearts and their minds focus to hear your voice and respond. God, I pray for their relationships today, that you would bless them and give them favor. You give them favor with their spouses, favor with their children. Children, you give children favor with their parents, God, and that you would reconcile relationships and bring people together for your glory. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and for your glory. Amen. All right. So, the final charge is go out and be fat and order seconds. Cool? Fantastic. All right. Well, you guys have a great week. I think that's it.